Hey guys, welcome back. BDC Care here. We're back with our weekly Q&A video that used to have a lot more letters because it's kind of a Q&A video. It's not really a Q&A video. It's an us talking video that when we run out of things to say, we move on to the next thing,
sure.
Which is often a comment that right. We get from our YouTube. And I should say, I called it a video, but it's a video and it's a podcast. If you're on the video, links in the description to get this on most of the major podcasting platforms. I say this every time, so I don't think I need to tell people why listening to it on podcast mode is great.
And it's good for your health.
Yeah.
It'll make your skin clear up.
Yeah. If you support us on Patreon, actually, it will cure any ailment you have. If there's anything that you don't...
That's so not true.
If you don't like something about your body, it doesn't even need to be like a... like a sickness thing, it'll do one of two things. It'll either fix it for you or therapy, like it'll make you actually reframe how you feel about that part of your body. And then all of a sudden you'll end up happy and contented with yourself.
I'll say it's one of three things. The third option is it will do nothing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And I would say that like so far in all of our testing, it's actually done nothing.
Right.
But I'm really hopeful
that something will change
about one of the other two. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, you want to make it worth people's while, right? Yeah. If they're going to give us money.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, all right. So this is where I start. This is the season 11. This is the season of the Lost Challenge characters. We open with a little bit of discussion about the Lost Challenge characters that you're watching. We're going in order. In the description, there's a list of all the ones that we've recently done. We are working our way alphabetically. We are now at Yellow Lantern Hal Jordan, otherwise known as Hal Jordan Yellow Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You get to read his passive.
Yeah, his passive is Instilling Fear, which is if an opponent tags out, and then there's three bullet points.
Well, I made them bullet points. It's all like a couple sentences, which is weird because it's the way they do it, the grammatically, like the structure.
Strange,
they,
yeah.
They, sometimes they put them in different sentences. Sometimes they cram a whole bunch into one sentence.
Yeah. Okay, so if an opponent tags out, Yellow Lantern steals 25% of his power and steals additional 20% from other lanterns. All enemy lanterns receive 10% more damage from Yellow Lantern. He's got 1,400 attack, 1,300 health as his base stats.
Yeah. So it's an interesting passive. I mean, it's for practical purposes, I think it's really not consequential at all. So there's two elements for an opponent tagging out. It sort of overlaps. There's three things. Two of them have something in common. The other two have something else in common. So Yellow Lantern will steal power, but he'll steal more power from other lanterns. And other lanterns will also take more damage.
Mm-hmm.
So three different elements. They never really come into play. There just aren't enough lanterns. There's only 10% extra damage against a lantern. Doesn't really move the needle for me.
Yeah.
And stealing an extra 20% would be kind of cool. So that's, I think, stealing 45% of the opponent's power.
Mm-hmm.
All the time would be great. Only against lanterns? Eh. I don't know that there's enough lantern skins to make it relevant. Especially not enough gold lantern skins.
Yeah.
Really, we're thinking Jessica Cruz, Jon Stewart. Those are the two that we see probably the most. I think Antimatter Sinestro doesn't count. But then you've got a few other sort of minor... lanterns, maybe. All right, so Red Sun Green Lantern shows up every once in a while. Just not enough. And if you rely on them tagging out, they don't tag out enough because unless us knocking them out counts. And mm-hmm. I don't think that does. So what makes him interesting then? Hal Lantern Yellow Jordan. All right, his special two is three hits. And each
Wait,
of those
did you say Hal Lantern Yellow Jordan?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I think I did.
Was that on purpose?
No.
You can remix all the four elements of his name pretty much however you want.
Yeah. So his special two has three hits. They are all equal parts. What's funny is that the animation for the first part is so sort of minimal. And you combine the range of it is really tiny. So that if there's anything shoving them back and you do the special two right away, it whiffs.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might not even notice that if you weren't paying attention, sometimes you could, and you did that often enough, you could think, well, it's only a two-hit special. It's actually three. That one where he flicks them up in the air, even though it looks so minor, it does as much damage as all the other hits. The second and third hit are really ranged, so they always hit, which is kind of funny. But they all are decent amount of damage. She's got really high stats. They're not actually. There's something funny that happens if the character, the character coming in blocks. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is. They do. It reduces the damage to almost nothing sometimes. However, there's the potential, and if you go back to right at the beginning of this video, I'm going to put that in the first two fights. Yellow Lantern, Hal Jordan. All right, so Wally West is the first opponent, and everything had to sort of come together perfectly for this to happen. Mm-hmm. So Wally West passive did not trigger. He did not dodge the special. All three hits of the special two crit. Nobody blocks. And so Hal Jordan, in one special two, knocks out all three opponents.
Which is really great.
Yeah, and it tells you the spacing is... So the timing in between each... The amount of time, the spacing between each hit has enough that it could knock them all out. But there's something funny behavior. I'm not exactly sure what's happening. I think I have to play with them a bit more. That means that sometimes if they block, it just won't even do much at all. Mm-hmm. So there's a two-hit combo ender, which is kind of neat. So you can get increased combo ender effects. My biggest issue with Yellow Lantern Hal Jordan is that it's a reduced damage on special one because it causes a bleeding damage over time.
Yeah.
I would almost rather not have that. Although, I mean, you know, I guess every once in a while it's handy, but the number of times it's handy compared to the number of times it's the opposite, let's say against Blackest Night Flash. And the number of times I'd rather have more damage. I could give or take that. I guess maybe it's overstating a little bit, saying that's the worst part. The worst part really is that the passive doesn't do much.
Yeah.
Because he's otherwise pretty good.
Yeah.
The second fight I think I'm going to put at the beginning of this is not so much a tribute to Hal Jordan Yellow Lantern or Hal Lantern Yellow Jordan, is that Ares... What's the biggest nightmare? Ares coming in, two bars of power, and he's invulnerable from Astro Harness. So he is hugely dangerous. Got Tantu Totem. He could just smack you over and over again. It's a testament to how this particular team composition, it's not even Yellow Lantern specifically, right? You could almost stick in anybody in this as a special slot. But the team composition of Hawkgirl, Rebirth Raven, and a special two specialist with this gear loadout works beautifully so that we can take care of Ares tagging in two bars of power. He does absolutely nothing to us. Mm-hmm. It's pretty spectacular. I love that.
So there we go.
So what's the verdict on him? I mean, he's fun to play, I guess.
Yeah. He's got some real potential, right? Like being able to knock out a whole team with one special two is a really cool thing to hit. And even if it doesn't hit every time, you know, it's one of those things that feels worth doing just to be able to say you did it.
Yeah.
Because getting to finish an entire fight with essentially just one special is, you know, pretty one of a kind. It's hard to get with almost anybody else.
Yeah, I think the other person who's got the potential for that would be Animated Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So moving on to our first comment this week, this one comes from Burke's Homemade Memes. And last time we made a real meal of trying to pronounce their name.
I'll say it's Burke's Show Me Mad E-Memes.
We gave it a bunch of different tries. But anyways, they have just a really lovely comment that I want to read. They say, haha, the pronunciation of my username was golden, but hearing your project about making something you like kind of hits home. Didn't expect to have that feeling because I was just waking up and listening to this in the background. And then they added the timestamp for
us. Oh, because we talked about it last time.
Yeah,
about
20 minutes and 50 seconds in.
That's what they're referring to, that they're responding to that part.
Yeah, which is good because in this case, we actually obviously remember that conversation.
Well, I don't know about obviously.
Well, but not obviously, but in this case, we remember that conversation. The through line, you're also not replying to something specific enough that it's like, oh, you said like one sentence and I'm running off of that. It's sort of the overall thrust of the conversation, which is a lot easier.
But I always appreciate it, right? Like sometimes when we, it's like a lot of things. Sometimes you ask for it when you need it, but if people offer it even when you don't, it's actually, I like it because it's really considerate.
So this is great reply etiquette is what we're going to say.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
Yeah. So, Burke says, I made something I really liked 1 to 2 years ago. It took a lot of planning and ideas. Compared to my other videos, it did okay. A lot of other videos I made are much more lower effort and get more attention, and it feels weird, which sometimes raises a question for me, why work this much when I can do that instead for views? But everyone who watched the video I actually worked on loved it. I had some positive feedback, only some because my channel is a small speck of dust, and obviously we know how that feels as well. That puts me in this weird situation of work hard on something and have high expectations, or put something mediocre and have low expectations. I do think the effort versus attention, views, and YouTube in this case, is often inverse, especially with the algorithm nowadays. And I like this question for a lot of reasons, right? Mm. I think, first off, it's really cool, and we got a couple of comments on sort of what I was talking about in the video, and we were talking about together. Right. Of people who were like, yeah, I kind of get this. This is cool. I've done it. And it feels like, you know, what you said.
It's very satisfying.
Feels accurate to me, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really cool. And I'm glad to sort of find it. I clicked over to Burke's stuff. There's some, like, anime stuff. So it's not exactly the kind of videos that I would necessarily watch, mm-hmm. Which is fine because most videos aren't kind of the videos I would necessarily right. watch, including our own most of the time, honestly. Right. But it's cool stuff. And I see that Burke's been making stuff. And it's cool to connect to somebody else who is, in yeah. the grand scheme of things, about as popular as we are, right? You know, yeah. There was something like 400-something subscribers, which is honestly, for just making random stuff and putting it out there, is really good. It's something to be sort of proud of. Yeah. Especially because I think a lot of our channel growth was driven really just by the algorithm and, you know... Glitch videos, yeah.
Right.
So stuff right. that was kind of... separate from like our own talents or bona fides or you know
right that didn't need us I mean we added something to it. I still feel like that what we contributed was not our personalities, which is what mm-hmm. drives most videos, but our scholarship, mm-hmm. that we researched things properly, we tested things properly, we experimented, we documented, mm-hmm. and we came up with a cohesive kind of hypothesis that covered what we saw, and we tested enough that we felt pretty strongly about yeah. our underlying rationale.
It's not to say that we don't deserve to be where we are, because one, we're not very high up, so that's not yeah. like, you know, a huge bar to clear. And two, I think for this kind of thing, if you're talking about making something,
yeah.
most people pretty well deserve to be where they end up, because the amount of work you put in versus what you get out of it, you know, you're usually putting a lot of work in, even if you don't necessarily like the person who ended up in that spot. It's more just that most people end up with a lot less than they deserve for what they put in, is right. I think most yeah. people, for anybody to end up sort of hitting it big in a creative thing, you kind of have to take a little bit of a risk. You got to put effort in. Yeah. There's no real easy way to it in most yeah. cases. Even, you know, the type of YouTube content that I think of as kind of like soulless and kind of sucky, there's some of those like, you know, like prank videos and stuff like yeah. that, right? Where I really don't sort of agree with anything about the production or release of the videos, but it's, you know, you can't deny that those people are putting in time and effort to get there.
Well, I think the underlying problem, if I want to try to put it succinctly, is that there is more talent than there is success available.
Yes.
So there's just more coming out. There's just all this stuff. And success, I think, often is kind of random. And what's cool is I think it's very true what Burke was saying about how that sort of tension between work really hard... Yeah. Or don't work that hard. Like, what are you putting out? What's the quality of it? Mm-hmm. And it's not even always just the expectations. There's another tension, maybe like a little triangle kind of thing, where part of it will be, do you want to make what you like? Or do you want to make what you think will drive eyeballs?
Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because it's an easy decision for us. We've got the perspective to recognize that the difference for us between trying to make a huge effort versus not, and aiming for eyeballs versus not, there's not enough. There's not a level of success that really makes it worth doing something that we don't enjoy.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think we are very lucky, and I include Burke in this, which is at our level and size, we have freedom. We don't yeah. have sort of the external pressures that... really, I think, can grind people down when they're doing like YouTube or making stuff,
right?
If you are doing this as your full-time job, you have to, at the end of the day, make enough money for you to live off of,
right?
For whatever that means. You need to make enough money for this to continue to be worth it as a thing that you do, right? Mm-hmm. If you are small enough, you get to do it for whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's almost less like, you know, working for the views, because the views are one thing, and the views are really exciting and cool, right? But there's a lot of exciting, cool, fun things that you can get out of making a YouTube video, right? One of them is literally just being able to be creative and just have a thing in the world that you like and you are happy with. And that will always you'll be better off putting in more effort and more time and more energy into it to make the thing that you want to see in the world. And that's sort of like a really intrinsic value. And that has nothing to do with how many views it gets. Although the more work you put into it, you'll likely be more disappointed if it gets, you know, like no views, if it really languishes. You go, oh man, this is worth seeing and more people should see it. And I would say to me that disappointment is tempered by the fact that you are proud of it if you go in with that sort of understanding and expectation.
Right.
One of the other things could be just maximizing views, right? Like Burke was talking about. Where the lower effort stuff gets more views. And views are cool. And I still look at some of our videos that have like hundreds of thousands of views. And I go, wow, that's really cool, right? Mm-hmm. So there is something to be said for that. But one of the things with views is, unless you are in a position like we were, right, where we had eyeballs on us, we sort of knew what would get views. It was mostly the glitches. And then the one other video that we had that we weren't really necessarily expecting to go big, but it just happened to hit right, was the Beating Survivor, right?
Right.
Where it just sort of never slowed down. And I don't know never, because it's probably slowed down at this point.
I mean, I think when they changed Survivor to have more levels, it became less relevant.
Yeah. But so sometimes you kind of have a sense of what will make views. Sometimes you don't, right? And if you just want views, really the answer is just churning out stuff and then following trends. And that's sort of another thing that you could get out of it. And to me, views feel good when they happen, but they are too arbitrary for me personally anyways, for different people. If you've got a larger channel, if you're more into the analytics, if you have a sort of a better sense of like what type of content gets views, then it's less arbitrary. But for us and what we're doing here today, extra effort would not really correspond to extra views without a sort of significant shift in what we were doing to a point that we wouldn't want to do it as much. So for me, and I imagine for a lot of people, you know, Burke size, our size, whatever, sort of in that like relatively obscure place, but still kind of more than I think a lot of people end up getting place. And again, like 400 subscribers, 400 something was Burke's. That's like, that again, I want to say that's cool. Like that's that is an achievement, right? To just build that from nothing, just making stuff that you have fun with,
right,
is you know, is awesome. So to me, views doesn't make sense for us to chase at this size,
right?
And then I guess the two other things that I would say really quickly is, one is community, right? And I think we've definitely got a cool community of people that I am happy to see comment and interact with us, and we get cool comments like Burke and other people, and so that's something to optimize for, is making your stuff a space for finding and maintaining community.
It doesn't always mean the quantity of views as much as it is the quality of views.
Yeah, and that could even literally just be a friend you already have. If you're making videos for your friend or group of friends or whatever, and they like it and give you feedback, right? Burke's getting those comments from the people who loved it. That's sort of like a little bit of its validation, but part of that is that community with other people and that connection. And then the last thing I would say is like learning, personal learning. So for the thing that I made, the thing that I really focused on was personal learning. And we recently, we got a new patron. We'll thank them at the end. And they commented and they said, you know, it's a good video if a little bit over edited, right?
Yeah.
And it was probably the best piece of feedback, like in terms of criticism I'd receive, because 100% over edit, right? Like I put way too much stuff in it. I did more work than I needed. I made some stuff. I did so much stuff that in some places it was a little bit messy. I didn't really know the pacing, so it was a little inconsistent. So there's moments where there's not enough stuff, and sort of the benchmark that I had set by putting too much stuff in some sections couldn't be maintained. And so, you know, that kind of makes it fall flat, even though in a slower video it would be the right amount of stuff. Yeah. So I went into it knowing this is primarily, first and foremost, an exercise in editing. And so for them to say it was good, it was a little over-edited, I was like, yes, it was over-edited. And I love that, because for somebody to say it was good and then give a piece of feedback that I knew to be true, And that was it would be my main criticism of the video too.
It's what I hear about why torture is ineffective or interrogation, because a lot of times you have to know stuff first. Just random facts that you get from it aren't useful. But when you test it against things that you already know, then the other information becomes more useful.
Interesting. Yeah. No, so I was like, that person, they got it.
Yeah.
They're right. It is over-edited. They saw my video and they see the same thing that I see. So for them to like it felt like it mattered to me, because I was like,
Well, you value their opinion because clearly it's an insightful one.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just getting back to what you mentioned about Survivor. What's funny is that video got a lot of views, and that's that tension, right, between what you want to do. So at the time, I wanted to do that video. It took a bunch of time. It took like each run at Survivor, if you're successful, at the time would take, I think, like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And if it was unsuccessful, we've basically blown a bunch of time that we could have been doing other things. Like at that time, we're still accumulating stuff.
Yeah.
And if you do it and somehow there's something wrong with, like, if you don't have enough memory on your device, and it fails in the middle, because it's a little bit arbitrary. I mean, most of the time you can guess how much room it's going to take.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of action or fight takes a long time, you could run out of space. And what you end up doing is spending a half hour of playtime, 40 minutes of playtime, for nothing.
Mm-hmm. And what's also funny is that was sort of our closest thing to this podcast at that time, because we weren't able to just talk about the fight for the whole time. We ended up doing the most rambling, I think, during that video that we had up to that point.
Yeah, and so the funny thing is, if we really wanted to drive views and have success on this channel now, I think a new Survivor video would probably be it. Like, we know that that first Survivor video did well. Back then, I want to do it. Now, I just don't. Like, there's just too many other things that are going on. And, I mean, there was even a comment, I think, somebody asking, saying, hey, do a Survivor video, new Survivor video already. Yeah, not so much. Not yet. I mean, maybe stuff, my motivation changed. I mean, there's lots of stuff that people suggest over time that at the time when they suggested it, I thought, yeah, no way. Like, people who would say, yeah, can you do the recap after the new season starts? I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because at that time, my work schedule was always late on Thursday. That was like the worst day to do anything. And now we've actually transitioned to doing our recaps on Thursdays, which is funny.
Yeah, it is. And so the last thing I want to say, just like a really great meaty comment here, is the last statement. I do think the effort versus attention views in YouTube in this case is often inverse, especially with the algorithm nowadays. I don't necessarily have any sort of mind-bending facts about it, but I will say that the algorithm in the ways that we get served content is something that I think about a lot. And so this has touched on a topic that's really interesting to me. And I think it is, you know, we've talked about sort of, I think even in that video, about how the algorithm influences what's popular. But I just keep coming back to that idea of TikToks gaming the algorithm and actually being more popular by making the content worse, right? Because the way TikToks work is that, you know, most people are looking at them on your For You page, right? So you move into the content passively. So no sort of prior features of the content enter your conscious mind before it hits your page, right?
Okay.
So there's sort of a couple different ways to have a more popular TikTok, right? One is somehow finding a way of getting the tags or the metadata, the captions, the subtitles, something in your video to trigger something in the TikTok algorithm to make it think it should show it to more people, right? And so that's sort of one way. And you can do that by, you know, figuring out what the TikTok algorithm prefers. One of the things that it's looking at right now is longer videos more than a minute long. And it's also specifically and explicitly saying to some creators, we will boost your videos if you make them in landscape and they have to click into the full screen. So they want longer videos and they want, you know, full screen. And then people will do their own sort of magic divination to try to figure out what the other secrets are, what the other spots they can sort of fit in the cracks and somehow boost their views. And the other way is by finding a way to, at all costs, get more engagement from people. That's getting people to watch for longer. That is getting people to comment, like, engage. And so one of the ways that you can get people to engage more by commenting is by having a really weird mistake or an Easter egg or something. And I did talk about this earlier. It was a guy who pronounced anime really weird, like anime, right? Having those sort of little things to try to get people to comment. And I do just... I thinking about that algorithm, and I don't want to retread too much ground, so I think we'll end it there.
Well, let's not end it. I actually have an idea.
Or not exactly there, but like I won't keep going on about it. But I think it is really interesting how much of sort of the way that you structure content in these really subtle ways can make or break a video.
I feel like, too, that there are things that are subtle, but the same way we were just talking off camera about how crustaceans tend towards crabs.
Yeah, crab shapes. That's called carcination, if you want to.
So it feels like that whole idea of, when you have a specific mistake or whatever, like an intentional mistake, mm-hmm. that's a subtle form of trolling. And it's across different platforms. Like Twitter now has that monetization thing, mm-hmm. right? Where the more people engage, the more money you can potentially make off Twitter if you pay Elon $8. Is it $8? $8 a month to start as sort of like, I guess that's your startup fee. But one of the strategies for increased engagement has been to troll.
Yeah.
Like people just like not so subtle trolling. They do something to get people's goat. Yeah. And get people to reply and reply often and to like it can't be a coincidence that there's like TikTok is gravitating that direction, Twitter is gravitating, like there's got to be, I don't know, there's these are the crabs of social media.
Yeah, it is when you build algorithms that can only use certain input variables for determining whether or not to show their stuff to more people. And most of those variables somehow break down to attention or engagement, you end up with any form of engagement being valued. And it's true that the form that you tend to trend towards is things that are shocking and things that are worth talking about. And most of the time, that's not just, funny stuff that you like the most, right? There tends to be a slight sort of trend towards something that is polarizing in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually funny. This is something that I know we didn't talk about before. There's a online content creator who I really like, who mostly makes stuff in what feels like a very hard to monetize format.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is Dan G. Henschel, H-E-N-T-S-C-H-E-L. And I want to tell you these in real time. So his thing is he is constantly adopting other personas, and he will update his like profile picture to match, and he'll do a sort of a rapid fire series of tweets as a persona. Mm-hmm. And almost every single one of them is a parody of like one of those like Twitter main character of the day, like the worst people. And he does almost exactly that, where it is like that kind of like rage bait adjacent thing of like,
oh, that's it, rage bait. All right, that's a great term.
Okay. Of like, this is somebody with a terrible take on Twitter. This is something that is meant to make you a little bit mad and you want to have an opinion about it. So for example, this one is a post, and he's since changed his profile picture, so it doesn't work anymore. He says, if the wife won't quit, I can at least have a little fun with it. And do you want to describe the images that you're seeing to me?
There's a cigarette. Oh, dipping the butt, like the filter end, into the toilet.
And then putting it back.
And then another picture with that cigarette sticking out a little bit, like he's put it back.
So it would be miserable and abusive and terrible if somebody was really doing it. He has this one. There's no caption, so just maybe describe the image for the class.
All right, so I don't know. This is some white guy with his hat on backwards and one of those... what's that? You have a little goatee.
Yeah, it's like a gross sort of like chin beard.
Yeah, but there's a word for that. It's like, I can't even remember. Killing one deer would fix y'all's depression for good, but y'all ain't ready for that conversation. Is that like Bambi?
Well, he's pretending to be somebody, like a stereotypical, like, random, like, American hunter.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? It's the opposite of it, but it's that... Like, I was thinking of the word soul patch, but that's not what it is. Soul patch is just that little part under your lip and nothing else. This is the full, like, thing at the bottom, but it has enough of a weird look that makes me think of it. It's got a...
Yeah, and then he's got this one where he's got long hair, and he's dressed in scrubs, and he's looking like a woman in this image. It says, I love being a hospice nurse because it's like working retail, except when customers are rude, you can just kill them. And then recently he changed his name, and this one was so good that I actually didn't realize it got me for a second. He changed his account profile to WTF with a question mark and an exclamation mark, and his name to WTF post. And the caption is, comedian arrested for tweeting mass shooting threat claimed it was, quote, performance art. And it's a fake mugshot of him, and then a printout of a tweet that says Oscars tonight, and then a picture of like an assault rifle.
Oh.
And yeah, no, so all of his stuff is different pastiches or parodies of that rage bait content,
right?
That would just forces people to have an opinion or to react or to respond right. somehow. And his stuff is really funny, but I think in a lot of ways he has made a really efficient satire that never has to put a name to it, doesn't have to do all this extra explaining that we're doing, but has really clearly identified sort of exactly what it is we're talking about,
right?
And what makes it tick. And he does a great job of sort of cycling through different variations of that. He had like a right. video that was him pretending to be a professor, talking about like, we all have that one student in class that makes our like heart flutter when we think of them and makes us excited to go to class. So just like a clearly like a super inappropriate relationship mm-hmm. to have with a student. And then him like clarifying that it's not anything weird or like inappropriate. You just wouldn't understand because you've never been a professor type thing. So he has these really funny sort of, this content that is really, I think, at the heart of what we're trying to get at here. But it's a super, super fascinating topic to me. It's just, mm-hmm. And which is why, you know, talking about the algorithm, especially in that context, you know, definitely Burke knew how to get under my skin, at least in right. a good way, not, you know,
right.
annoying me. But that is one of those things that I'll very frequently, you know, it's a well I love to go back to. It's yeah. worth thinking about, especially if you're considering being a content creator, I think, for any sort of personal gain, right, like monetary success, or even just sort of like that warm, fuzzy feeling of getting a lot of views, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause the algorithm really is going to be the thing that you're going to be pushing up against. It is sort of your greatest strength and one of the sort of most influx and confusing things about what you're doing. Right. And also will, as long as you are sort of pushing for success, it will shape your content, like it or not, right? Because the whims of the algorithm are going to be what decides how right. your stuff does,
right?
So it's and even as consumers, I say, we'll wrap up here, but it's a huge thing, right? Because that you thinking about the algorithm of the platform you're on, and if it's looking for engagement and rage bait, what is sort of the success state of the algorithm for a lot of the like places that we are at right now, for a lot of the social media platforms, the successful state of that platform is keeping us on longer. It's not making us feel good. Right.
Right.
When you think about all the ways that being annoyed or confused or, you know, something makes you feel like you really need to comment, is that something that you actually want to do? Because that is what makes something successful. That is what they're pushing and working for. So thinking critically about that and not, you know, just signing off, because you know, that's not always practical, right? These things are important parts of our like lives and how mm-hmm. we socialize and everything mm-hmm. else now. But thinking about that and trying to be intentional about it so that you're hopefully counteracting that, you know, when you see somebody do something weird or the little mistake or whatever, instead of just jumping straight to commenting, going like, is this something that I want to do and is productive, can maybe help you sort of inure yourself, protect yourself from potentially some of the right. more harmful potential effects.
The more that pernicious parts.
That these sort of systems yeah. might have on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I think that's a great place to end it off this week. Only one comment, but I think it's a good comment.
One comment, one character. This is the season of the Lost Challenge characters, right?
That's true. Yeah. So to finish up, we'd like to give a huge thank you to our patrons on Patreon.
That would be Michael DeVries, Irvin Ruiz, Hoshi127, and Nora Klimek, who are supporting us on the credit level. I feel like I wanted to say Norma. I ended up saying Nora, which is the correct way. And I stumbled a little bit almost with the idea of the M more than the pronunciation of the M. I apologize, Nora. I've had to do that more than once already.
For what it's worth, I think Nora, not that Norma's a bad name, but I like the name Nora. Yeah. It feels like a nice name. It edges out Norma a little bit in my right. estimation.
And our latest patron is 5x5, who is supporting us on the gratitude tier.
Yeah, so there we go. Thank you so much.
And so this is the last time we'll be doing it like this. You also see a bunch of names of people who were good enough and generous enough to support us during the pandemic. And it's been a sort of a weird kind of time. We've officially transitioned from the pandemic to an epidemic, local epidemics, months ago, but it felt like that it was still too early to make that decision. But I think after today, we'll maybe leave off that part. We are still grateful for the time, but I think we are definitely, when you go out, at least in North America, you go out on the streets, you just don't really see anything to tell us that we're in the middle of any kind of infectious.
COVID is still a real and present concern, but you kind of have to pick a line. And at this point, you know, hopefully most people's lives will have settled down and there's not sort of that like direct financial pressure that might prevent somebody from supporting that we wanted to be considerate of. And we'd also like to give a huge thank you to all the folks who've made it to the end of this video with us. You know, 35 minutes of hanging out and listening to us chat is no small feat. So we appreciate it. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Komoda.